Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Now, as usual, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me this morning and waking me up. And like I said, without having God in my life, I don't know what I would do. So it looks like my callers are already joining me on the line. So I want to get started with this show because we only have an hour. And this topic is one of those topics that is very controversial, very much needed, very taboo, and a lot of times a lot of individuals I find are struggling as it relates to this subject matter, as it relates to being in a relationship. Now, without further ado, I want to say the topic for today is, are you in love or just settling? Now, how do you define love? A lot of times individuals say, you know, I remember being a kid and we used to blow the little flowers, I love you, I love them not, I love them, I love them not. And the problem with that is many of us have a misperception of what love means, what it takes to be in love, and also defining if you are in a relationship where you are in love. Meaning, are you happily in love with your current, or in your current relationship, or in your marriage with the person that you with? And when it comes to being in a relationship with another, we know that it can be very difficult. I know myself. Like I said, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I do specialize in working with relationships amongst other things that I do. But the thing is, I noticed that when I'm working with a lot of couples, many of them feel kind of stagnant in their relationship. Or, you know, Tina Turner said, what love got to do with this? You know, they made songs, the thrill is gone. A lot of times individuals, I'll never forget, I used to tell my son when he was a kid, one of his favorite songs was It's Cheaper to Keep Her. But one of the things is we talk about these relationships and these songs, they had meaning because a lot of individuals were basically talking about situations that they were in, or the songwriter basically put that song together because it served a purpose. Now, with today's society, we're finding that some individuals are still getting married at a very young age, and a lot of times when they say that they are in love, many individuals don't even know what that means. Now, as we know, when we talk about relationships, in every relationship, we understand that eventually those initial butterflies that you feel around you or your partner, sometimes they fade. And that's not to say that the attraction is gone or that the love has disappeared forever. And I want to say, and I hope that some of my therapy friends join me in regards to this conversation, because some of us do mediation, some of us work with couples, and if a couple is struggling with their relationship, I want to say therapy can work. You can't put everything on the therapist because it's up to you two to decide what you're going to do with your relationship and your commitment to the relationship, but it is definitely worth a try. So let me log on my first caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, this is Amy.
Hello, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am doing well. Now, I want to thank you for joining me on this call. And it's interesting because we're waiting on the other person, and hopefully we'll get some men on the call too, because we don't want it to just be all women. Because a lot of times when you're talking about a woman, we were taught to, you know, be in love and wait on our Prince Charming, and, you know, the person comes and we have the White House and the picket fence and all of that stuff. And sometimes we find in that that's not all what we thought it was going to be. And then we, you know, some individuals get involved in toxic relationships too. So tell the listeners what you want them to know about who you are, what you do, and why you find this topic to be interesting, besides the fact that I kind of told you to join me.
My name's Amy, and I am currently Jeanette's intern. I'm studying for my MSW at USC. I find this topic interesting because I see a lot of friends and loved ones kind of misinterpret what love means. They justify certain actions and words that their significant other says.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I want to thank you because you have done a lot as far as being my intern. You go, a right-hand person, but I go tell you what you said the last time, but we okay with that. But the thing is, I truly appreciate you. I really appreciate you. Now, let me log on the next caller. Okay. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Last number, last two, 89. Can you hear me?
Hi, Jeanette. Yes.
Hello. Okay. Tell the listeners who you are, what you do, and why you find this topic to be very interesting before we even get started with the show with this.
Oh, hi, Jeanette. Hi, Amy. My name's Amalia. I find the topic very interesting. Also, like Amy says, I have a lot of friends, and I am a lot significantly older. And I think for my friends, we find ourselves, you know, going into our 40s, not being in relationships and having a lot of bad relationships behind us. So we put other things in front of finding our relationships, and now we're at a point where we wonder if we will ever get that white picket fence and that, you know, all of those things that we thought we could reach when we were in our 20s.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Amalia, and I want to say, sometimes you don't even start in your 20s. I'm finding that even working with teenagers, a lot of teenagers are struggling for this relationship, and they feel that, you know, they're going to miss the boat, or they don't find themselves to be attractive, or they, you know, even when we look at political stuff, we're looking at stuff that's happening in the news today that started with individuals when they were in high school, and, you know, and it's one of those things that, and I found something on the internet, and it said, I just want to be with the right person. But many individuals struggle with being with the wrong person before they find that right person, because a lot of times we start off with, you know, your parents trying to hook you up, and now we got online dating, which we're finding that that can be a challenge. Some individuals have been very successful with it. Some individuals have been killed behind that. You know, so there's a lot of different things that we always trying to find love, but as we're trying to find love, how do we even know what, do we even know what love even means? You know, because a lot of times, I remember a person told me, I'll never forget, I was in my 40s. He, because I'm not one, I don't do relationships very well. And my auntie told me one time that I have relationships ADHD, because there's two things. I may like you, and I may really, really, really like you, but if you mess with my food, I don't like you no more. So, we got a problem. And it seems like every time somebody try to date me, they always either want to bribe me with food or mess with my food to piss me off. And that don't always turn out, you know, in their favor a lot. So, I will break up with you in a heartbeat over my food. And if you can't afford to feed me, that's going to be a problem. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, I would rather pay your bills than buy your food. And I was like, that is just so mean. But but getting back to what I was going to say, I had a guy one time, he told me, and he was really struggling. He said, do you like, he gave me a card. And the card said, do you like me? Check the box. And I'm like, check the box. We in our 40s. What the hell am I going to check the box for? Yes, I know. And one time he called me, he was like, check the box. Check the box. Girl, I had to leave that man alone because he's kind of crazy. So I checked the doggone box. Now, Amalia, I'm going to ask you first, Amalia. What is your interpretation of love?
That's a difficult one, I think, for me. I think for me personally, it's love to me is being able to give love, because I have always received love, but it's always been difficult for me to accept it and to give it to someone else. So for, I think for me, it's more than just a feeling. It's actually being at peace with being vulnerable and compromising and accepting of someone else who is not like myself and forgiving.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, it's kind of crazy because a lot of times we learn from parents and watching our parents' relationship on what our idea of love is, especially watching it on, even some of us watched it on television. And some individuals are in abusive relationships where they are being abused, and they think that that's love too. Now, I'm going to ask you, Amy, what is your interpretation of love?
To me, it's similar to Amalia, but it's having, like, allowing myself to change to an extent to be better for that person. Like a mutual, mm-hmm. like he changes for me in some aspects, and I change for him, and there's like a balance. A lot of it's learning to communicate with one another to me is like expressing those feelings, because I'm not very good at expressing how I feel, mm-hmm. and having the trust, so the trust, the honesty, I think that equals the love part of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have something that I looked up, and it talks about in regards to the definition of what is real love, because a lot of times individuals will say, just say, I love you, and that's supposed to be enough. And I've heard people say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And people get confused, like, okay, so what do that mean? Or is it having just a little bit of love? Does that mean that we're supposed to get married, or we're supposed to have children? Or, you know, what are you trying to tell me? Because a lot of times individuals don't know how to communicate it. Now, when we talk about love, we have, and it says, love is unconditional. The word unconditional means that there is no expectations or limitations set. Now, I find that to be kind of difficult, because if you don't have expectations and you say it's unconditional, which we know, you know, the Adobe love or Agape love, meaning, you know, the love of God, but that's a different type of love when we're talking about being in a relationship with another human being. Now, to love unconditionally is a difficult thing, and most humans aren't good at that. But true love doesn't love without trying to change the other person. But one thing that we learn is you really can't change another person. That person is going to have to want to change. And when we talk about settling, a lot of times individuals will say, well, you know, they have a purpose, or they have potential, or, you know, and I've said on my show before, things that people I've dated in my teens, in my 20s, in my 30s, I was like, okay, I did some things. My 40s, I was like, 40s, I really wasn't dating. I was like, okay, then I got married. My 50s, I'm like, hell no. You know, so I'm not going to just settle for a lot of things in my 50s that I would have been okay with in my earlier years. And it took time for me to get to that point, because a lot of times we have to also be in love with ourselves. What do you ladies think about that?
I think that a lot of people justify their partner's actions or words, like I said earlier, some like settling, like, oh, he has a good job, he makes good money, like he could support me, you know, and they make up for all the flaws that they're not compatible for by justifying mm-hmm. thing that they see could benefit them in the long term, but that's not beneficial in the now.
And you know what? And you, and I want to say this too, Amy, that can now be quite dangerous, because back in the day we used to call them gold diggers. And I remember Lisa Ray said, someone called her a gold digger. She said, I'm not gold, I'm platinum. I was cracking up like, you go girl, you platinum. You know, so, but now we're finding that also women are more independent now, and they're striving yeah. more for their autonomy. And in some homes, they're the actual breadwinner, and it doesn't mean that they are to disrespect their partner. And then we also have some same-sex relationships where individuals are looking for the same thing. We all want to feel love. We all want to be protected. And, you know, there are certain things, and those, in my opinion, are expectations. Now, we talk about true love, and what are the signs of true love in a relationship? Now, it is a give and take in love, meaning you learn to compromise. It's pure happiness. When we start talking about, I remember I used to say, I don't want that love because I don't want to be hurt. But sometimes love hurts, because a lot of times we watch a lot of movies, and some of the movies that we saw also had a lot to do with the different types of pain, and they break up and they get back together. And I used to be like, I ain't got time for all of that. That's just too much. But to some individuals, they felt that that was basically true love, or they found that person to be actually be their soulmate. Now, in addition to just that and, you know, talking about some of the things, I want to also, when we talk about some of those characteristics, I found a blog, and this blog said, love makes the world go round, right? Well, at least that's how the saying goes. When we talk about some of the characteristics of real love, love means saying goodbye to expectations. Now, when we say goodbye to expectations, that means you don't want that person. That person can't make you this way or, you know, those different things. We talk about expectations a little different. Love doesn't play the victim role or blame others. Love includes letting go, meaning love doesn't equal possession. Just as the saying goes, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it's yours. If it doesn't, then it never was. There is truth to that. Love allows people their freedom. It doesn't hold tightly and crush their wings in an attempt to keep them. A lot of times, you know, Amalia, we do the 52-week domestic violence program, and we see that a lot of times, even with jealousy, and love has no room for jealousy. Love is not absence. Love is the absence of fear. Love is not needing. It is wanting. Love is an action. It's not just a feeling. I've already indicated that it's unconditional. And love means putting other people's needs equal or before your own, meaning it's not being selfish. And love requires attention. That's just to name a few. Now, ladies, as we talk about this attention and we talk about settling, there's a lot of times individuals find themselves in situations where they are in a situation where they started off by thinking that they were in love, and sometimes the love fades. Now, both of you young ladies are, you know, in the midst of therapy and work with families, couples, or will be working with family couples when we talk about these different relationships. Now, I know both of you personally, and you guys know me too. So that's what makes this show very interesting. So we got to be honest with one another. So we started talking about the sacrifice, the settling. I'm going to ask you, Amy. Amy, have you ever just settled in a relationship?
I personally have not settled. It took me a very long time to actually date somebody. My parents had just such a strong relationship, and that was my example. I had just high expectations, and I settled on the expectations my dad set and that how a relationship should be, that I just kind of crossed off every guy that came across my way, and I made up excuses for myself of why, like, I shouldn't date them. Like, oh, I'm only in college for 4 years. Like, I'm not going to do long distance. He's done. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I'm going to be going to college. Nope, he's done. Like, it just, I was more focused on myself than a relationship. I knew I couldn't balance both. But that's why I didn't. Okay. I have not experienced settling, but I have witnessed a lot of settling.
Okay. What about you, Amalia? Have you ever just settled?
For about 15 years, yeah. On and off.
So apparently,
for my dating career.
So you know, and I tease you because I'm like, I'm waiting to go to the wedding. I'm not trying to be a bridesmaid or all that other stuff, but we got to have good food at the reception first of all, because we've been through all of that, and we got to get you married and stop being so silly.
I know.
And stop just doing that. It's just like they say, stop it. Now, I'm going to ask you, Amalia, because you are a pro with settling. What did you feel you was getting out of it, out of the deal of just settling?
I mean, you know, I think I did it backwards where I was single for too long. And so I kind of shifted my mentality where I went into relationships knowing I was not going to be there for too long. So I think it's a combination of there's this person here who's giving me the attention that I need, but that fizzles out really quickly because it's a short-lived relationship, since it's not really any, I mean, it's logically I'm there, but emotionally I'm not, if that makes sense, and I hope none of them are listening. But and I think for me that's why I was settling, because I was not there I wasn't there because I was getting my emotional needs met, and I didn't have anything emotionally invested either. So the reason I call it settling is because I could have instead been looking for someone or looking for a long-term partner instead of wasting my time settling for someone mm-hmm. who is here now in the present time, fulfilling whatever it was whatever it was that their purpose in my journey was. So that's why I think I settled during the last 15 years, but it was honestly because I was like Amy, where I was, you know, I had all these other things going on, so I wasn't really looking for a long-term relationship. But at the same time, by entertaining these other people, I wasn't free to go look or be available for someone who probably would have been a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to throw myself under the bus because you ladies know I am the marriage queen. I probably have as many mm-hmm. husbands as Elizabeth Taylor. And that's all. But I told my mother, I told her a long time ago, I will have A through Z on my mailbox before I get dogged out by just one. So I am one that I've always been wifey material because I know that I'm a good person. I know I have a lot of qualities that are good about me, and I'm not one that just want to date a lot of individuals. And even in my friendships, I've always had long-term friendships. But part of the issue that I always had was individuals felt that I was not emotionally available or they never felt loved by me. So I can't say that they never loved me, but they never felt that I gave them that love. So my daughter would say I would just do things just to do things. And my friends would tell me that my mother used to call herself a bum magnet. So I'm not going to call people a bum. I'm not going to degrade anyone. But by that same token, I know better now. So like I said, some of the individuals and things that I've done, I won't do now. I remember a person told me I was in my 30s. And he told me, I ran into him one day, and he became homeless. He was a bum on the street, and he thought I wasn't going to speak to him. And he used to always be attracted to me when I was younger, and that's something that gets on my nerve is I'm tired of all these ghost ex-people talking about how they liked me when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. That gets on my nerve now. But he told me, he said, you know what, Jeanette, I've always liked you. I've always wanted to be with you. He said, baby, I would give up my pipe for you. Girl, the man was homeless on a bicycle. I said, you should keep your pipe. I will not compete with a crack pipe. So, you know, and it's sad. It's really sad because when we're talking about just settling, a lot of individuals are settling in relationships where they know that their significant other may have some bad habits, such as addictions, may be abusive, may not be in love with them, may be cheating on them. You know, and that's the purpose and the topic is as it relates to this show, is why are you, and then part of it is knowing your worth and knowing your value. And it doesn't mean, and you know, a lot of times, Abalia, some people don't do single very well. You know, I attended the luncheon Saturday with the Courageous Women's magazine, and it was very interesting working and being around those women. And one of the things that my daughter was saying is, Mom, a lot of people have experienced a lot of trauma. And they have. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I've known now in my years now of, you know, when I get ready to get out there and start dating again, is when you're dealing with a person that has experienced a lot of trauma, if they have not healed from that trauma, a lot of times individuals get into those toxic relationships and don't know what to do. And they feel stuck when they're settling. You know, because their significant other may have experienced, you know, some form of abuse or some type of maladaptive behaviors or dealing with depression. And a lot of people feel stuck. Now, when we talk about settling, Amalia, what would you do or what hope do you think? Well, first of all, let's talk about the signs of just settling, because a lot of individuals are in denial. Because I've been exposed in situations where people said, well, God put us together, and I'm not leaving my significant other. And the other person is saying, like, I want a divorce. I don't want to be with you no more. And they're like, no, you are not leaving me. I remember one of my sisters, I'm not going to say which one, she said one time she told her husband told her he was confused. She said, you better go back in that room and get unconfused. I was like, wow. You know, she was like, you ain't leaving me. You better go be get unconfused. So she was not playing. Now, let's talk about some of the signs that your partner isn't in love and it's just settling. Now, we know that it's really unfortunate whenever you find out that that person you are supposedly in a loving relationship is just settling for being with you, or what they call just tolerating you. Now, naturally, you would want any person that you would fall in love with to also be in love with you in return, because really, you deserve that. But unfortunately, the universe doesn't always give us what we want or what we deserve. We can still end up in relationships with people who really don't love us, people who just settling for being with us. And they indicate, according to leading experts in the field, if you are perceptive enough, you are able enough to spot the signs that your partner is merely settling and is really not in love with you. And you know, Malia, I want to say that it's really sad, because I see that a lot of times. Even, you know, sometimes I find that individuals, sometimes we are attracted to what we want and it may not be what we need. I just had this conversation with my son, because sometimes he gets on my nerve. And I used to be like, why do these women, why are they attracted to him? And every time one of his little girlfriends or his girlfriends called me or want information, I used to say, when his father was alive, have you talked to his father? Have you met his father? And then they would know why Jeanette ran like hell. So that should let them know. Like I tell them, I don't tell them what to do with my son, because that's their business. And plus, he's grown. But there is no way I would get involved in a situation like that. Now, these are some of the signs. One, they don't really express a real interest in the different facets of your life, meaning you have a life and that person really don't care. Your relationship doesn't really feel like a partnership, meaning you are more like two people who are just living lives alongside one another than two people who are in a relationship with are together. Number three, your partner is very critical of your behavior. Number four, the only time the two of you really connect with one another is when you're having sex. And we're going to get back to that too, Amalia, because that's an interesting one. The next one, your partner doesn't really make it a point to plan for your relationship. And you constantly feel undervalued and unappreciated in a relationship. And the seventh one, you don't feel like you can truly express your opinion. Now, these are some of the just seven signs, Amalia. Let's get to the sex one, ladies, because a lot of times that's what a lot of people don't want to give up, is the sex part. What do you, who want to go first? Amy.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to go first. I went first last time. I think some people are, you know, you can be attracted to somebody, or you could be like infatuated with the sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two different types of connection. Like, some people are just attracted to that person, but the, you know, the sex life is in another person is much better, but they're not as attracted to that person. So I think
gotcha.
When you find love and you can be infatuated and you find that person appealing to look at and not unfortunate, mm-hmm. then that's where love lies.
Gotcha. You know what? We have a caller on the line. Let's bring someone else into this mix and see what they have to say. Give me a second. Okay. This is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. I am logging you on, last number 79. How are you doing?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello? This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I just called in to listen.
Okay, so you just want to listen. Okay, I got another caller calling in. Let me log this person on. Last number ending in 1452. This is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Ms. Abney. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Is this Ms. Teddy?
Yes, this is.
Okay, Ms. Teddy. Now, I know. You know I was hoping you was going to call in on this one. Now,
yeah,
when we talk about...
I wanted to actually really be... on the initiation of the actual call, but I couldn't.
Gotcha. Now, when we talk about are you in love or are you just settling, and you know you bring a different perspective, especially from a spiritual base, because a lot of times people don't realize that even in the church, some individuals are just settling. because they have this taboo of, you know, we got to make this work. I know my husband or my significant other don't want to be with me, but I'm just playing a role. What would you have to, what do you have to say or add to this topic in regards to that?
Let's see. Where do I start with that topic? You know, for me, and I'll just speak for me personally, as well as, that, of course, me being a previous first lady and doing a lot of counseling, my late husband and I in the church and as well as outside the church as it relates to marriage and love and accept relationship. And we have to be careful, especially in counseling, because there are many scriptures that line up with in regards to marriage and relationship and so on and so forth, and how the husband is to treat the wife and how the wife is supposed to, and the wife's role and position as a wife. However, sometimes we miss the key scripture for what God has put together, let no man put us under. And I think before the marriage, it should be a lot more counseling. It should be a lot more assessing of the individual, because what I found that tends to happen is we, especially as women, see, you know, we always try to look for that silver lining. We always try to look for the good in that individual. And we may see that, whereas they may not recognize that. So we go into a relationship hoping and praying that that one thing or those several characteristics or traits that we thought we could deal with or that we were hoping they would change because they married me. Oh, he married me. So he definitely going to want to change that because, you know, and I think that gives us a false perception of the relationship and marriage. And then we want to fault the individual. Well, I always say that, you know, pretty much people's character are their character. Can they change? Absolutely. But if they want to change, if they have that desire to change. So, you know, the only thing that changes after the wedding have been placed on your finger. There's not a whole lot that may or may not change through the duration of that relationship as it relates to the person, their individual character. Other and, you know, just life circumstances. But, yeah, that's a very deep, and I missed the first 30 minutes, so I'm not sure what you covered, but that's a very deep, deep topic. So,
And, you know, Teddy, I want to thank you for your input because, and I have mentioned that a lot of times, even in the church, like they say, you know, people getting divorced, people getting together, and character. Character plays a big role because I know in my last relationship, I had one perception of this individual, and then when I started seeing other things, I'm like, I don't know if I want to deal with all this, you know, and because I was kind of bamboozled by who this person was within our childhood, and you know, and now they want to change, now they want to do this, and I'm like, I don't know about all that. But by that same token, I don't want to just say that it's not just women that just settle, men do too. Men do too.
Absolutely.
I've talked to a lot of men that were just miserable. And what they do is sometimes they reach out to other female friends, and then their significant other become jealous because it's like, well, how come he can relate to her but can't relate to me? Or why aren't they just friends? Because all my life I've always had a lot of men friends, but these men friends I wasn't having sex with or anything like that. I just always connected well. But I wouldn't try to be in a relationship with them because I know too much about them. But when we talk about just settling, so I want to put it out there, so hopefully we will get some male callers too, because a lot of times I found that with men, they either feel like they were trapped because of babies or because, you know, they're being threatened with their money, their career, their reputation. And that's a bad part to be in, you know, a bad situation to be in. Now, I want to read some things to the listeners out there. And I found this on the internet, and it talks about five things guys do that answer the question, does he love you? Now, it says, if a guy, and I don't want to just say guy, but I want to say female too, do these things, they don't love you, they're just settling for you. And there's nothing you could do about it except sometimes, but to love yourself and maybe perhaps you could let them know that maybe you might not be the person for me, but you keep it moving. Don't be mad at the person. Because a lot of times it's not that, and I want to go back to not just the five, And this is also related to 11 signs that they're not in love. You're just convenient. And I want to say it's sad because some people know that they're convenient and they just take on that role too. One of them is the person doesn't introduce you as their significant other. And that's one of the things that a person feels is disrespectful. And I want to say some individuals view this as a major red flag. And it can be very embarrassing to the other person. And I just learned that just by looking at this information. Because I remember one time I went and my last husband got mad at me because I introduced myself as Jeanette Abney. And he felt disrespected, like, you didn't introduce, it wasn't that I didn't introduce him, I introduced myself as Jeanette Abney. Because I've been Jeanette Abney for so long, I never changed my name. You know, I've been married multiple times, but still never changed my name. But a lot of it is because A go before any other alphabet, so I want to be first. So I was always A. Now, it had nothing to do with Mr. Abney. It had a lot to do with last name being A. My maiden name was B. I can't, and it's crazy because on my certificate for Courageous Woman magazine, they put Jeanette Brooks Abney. I was like, okay, so do I got to go back to the B? But I like the A because A go first. Okay, number two, the person is easily annoyed by your quirks, meaning whatever you say or do, it just pisses them off. The next one, they make comments about how particular either women or men are and not you out of your league, meaning they kind of put you down. The next one, the person don't invite you to family functions or hang out with him or her friends. That right there, they keep you a secret that lets you know that they are really not into you. The next one, they value other people's opinion about your relationship a lot, meaning they come back to you telling you, you know, what other people say. And those are just a few. Any of the listeners, any of you that's on the line with me, do you want to add something to this in regards to what are some of the signs that you know that person is just telling? And one of them is, you know, they don't come home or, you know, they disrespect you, put you down, try to demean you in front of your children or in front of their family and friends. What are some of the other signs that you women can come up with that you know that this person is really not feeling you? Anybody?
I think another sign is maybe that they kind of cut you off and they have a fear of being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the commitment. They have a fear of being committed to you.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Amy? I want to say this. When a person has a fear of being in a committed relationship with you, that's not really about you. That's about them. And we have to know better, too. It's kind of like, I like Paula White. I use her information a lot when I'm working with couples because I talk about wholeness and healthy relationships. And a relationship is healthy when basically I can be me, you can be you, we can be us. I can grow, you can grow, we can grow. A lot of times when individuals are just settling, sometimes they don't want you to grow or they're afraid of you growing because they're afraid you're going to grow out of them and leave them. And a lot of times when we're talking about that is when you're dealing with a person that has a lot of underlying insecurities, that can be a challenge when you're dealing with those issues. And sometimes individuals don't know how to deal with that. And I'm finding that even when I work with a lot of couples, communication is a big issue. And sometimes individuals can get turned off easily. And I found that when individuals get to the point to when they start resenting their partner, that right there is worse to me than just being jealous. It's just the pure resentment when you look at that person and just get mad. But then a lot of times people don't know what to do. I was talking to my attorney friend, and because I've been getting a lot of information or people have been talking about, and we're talking about are you in love or just settling, they have what's called the new divorce. And with this new divorce, I'm finding that individuals are seeking divorce, legal separations, but living in the same house. I don't understand that. Because if I'm not going to be married to you and we weren't getting along while we were married, why are we going to live up under the same roof? And in most cases, it's for financial reasons. It's to raise the children, you know. But by that same token, there is help available if you want to work on your relationship, but you got to be willing to do the work and you got to be committed to the relationship. And a lot of times when we talk about just settling, a lot of it is fear-based. Now, if you are unequally yoked, that's a whole different issue. But if we're talking about I'm just settling or I'm hoping or I'm praying, you know, it kind of takes me back to watching that movie. I think it was called The War Room. I don't think it was Prayer with the War Room. Mm-hmm. When that lady prayed and prayed for her husband to get it right. So some people may not be settling. They're living on a hope and a dream and a prayer. But how do you know when it's time to just say, you know what? It's either going to be me or you. I can't do this anymore. When do you know when to leave the relationship? And when do you know to continue to fight for the relationship? I want to ask you first, Amalia.
Well, I think something that you said resonated with me was like when you're feeling undervalued and unappreciated and you just can't express those feelings because that other person just doesn't really care. I think that's one of the main things for me. So once you see that you are personally changing and it's affecting you as a person, it's affecting your mental well-being, your mental stability, it's pouring over into stressors at work, or now you're not able to function as the mother, the daughter, the person that you were before that relationship, then it's time to consider leaving because the relationship is changing you for negatively. So you're worse off because of this relationship. And I think for me, that's when it's really time to consider leaving, when you're finding yourself changing negatively, not positively in a relationship.
Wow. Okay, Amy, next, what do you think? What would you tell the listeners?
Going off of what Amalia said, just I think sometimes if you're in a relationship and you give and take and you're given a whole lot and it can still make you a better person, like you grow from each relationship and each person you encounter and you become a better person and realize that this person is almost holding you back. And that's when you need to cut the ties and do you.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and I want to tell the listeners out there that we know that it's not that easy to cut the ties, but it is a process and you got to learn how to love you. You really have to learn how to let go, let God, love yourself. And if it's meant for you to be with that person, it doesn't mean that that person will not later learn to mature and grow. And sometimes they miss what they had once it's gone. And, you know, and it's crazy. And I think I told Amy, me and Amy was texting back and forth, and I said it took me a long time to find out what true love really was and to actually know what it feels like to love a person. And even though I know what that feels like now, you can still be healthy and not bitter. And even if you are with or not with that person, because experiencing love can be a beautiful thing, but you want it to be mutual. You want it not to be one-sided. And a lot of times individuals are so afraid of their past. They're so afraid of the hurt and carrying that baggage. But I want to say you have to learn how to let some things go. You know, my pastor preached some things to me yesterday, and I'm going to put it out there. And it was crazy because he said that God is in the, like, erasing business, or the way he put it, how God was erasing something out of my life to add something to my life. And I was like, okay, what do he mean by that? Because Amy and Amalia, y'all know what's going on with that. But I'm like, okay, so something was erased, so something's going to be added. So all I can do now is get myself together, be prepared, so when that addition comes, it can be more of an asset and not a liability or something that's not going to weigh me down because I'm not going to just settle. That I'm not going to do. But a lot of times, like I said, we're so afraid because we're carrying on to this baggage. Now, Teddy, in regard to that, how do you know when to let it go?
Actually, I was going to say similar to what Amalia is it and Amy said.
Yeah.
You know, like Amalia said, when you start to feel like you're changing and it's starting to negatively impact you in your day-to-day life, and as well as what Amy was going to say, similar to what she was going to say, for me, it's more of when I continually feel like I'm constantly giving and I'm, you know, that which I'm giving, whether it be mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, whatever capacity in the relationship, that it's not being reciprocated. Because I kind of look at that as, you know, you constantly withdrawing from a bank account, you withdraw, and you never depositing anything, then, you know, you end up going bankrupt and you go into a negative deficit. And so the same thing is relationships. I look at it, the analogy that it functions the same way. If somebody's constantly taking from you, no matter what that is or what that looks like, you know, it is very exhausting and you have no one depositing back in you. So then what happens is in a relationship, whether it be male or female, they start to look outside of the relationship for those deposits. And so instead of looking outside of the relationships for the deposits, then that's when I feel like it's time to cut those ties, as difficult as they may be, you know, to cut those ties and move on.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It kind of reminded me, and it stuck in my head, so I got to say it. You know, it goes back to, and I heard one of the preacher, when he put it out there about the Boaz, he said sometimes you got to get rid of that bozo to get your Boaz, because sometimes we hold on to things. Let that bozo go. Let him go. You know, and a lot of times we are so afraid, because I hear women say, well, I don't want to be alone, or I'm getting too old. And I remember my last husband, he told me, well, you know, you're getting older, you know, and I'm looking at him like, do you not know who I am? I ain't never had a problem with getting nobody, but I don't look for nobody. That I don't do. And I had my daughter cracking up when she posted something. Send me a picture, and I put it on my Facebook when I said, my daughter sent me this picture. She said I was looking like a snack. I said, now I look like a full course meal. So, you know, I said, if I knew I looked that good when I was younger, I wouldn't have ate somebody. But by that same token, we have to use our humor. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to also encourage ourselves, too. And especially as women, and especially as young men, a lot of times we give up on things because we give up on ourselves. And we have to do better. Now, I want to give a little information about the love language, because when we talk about love, a lot of times you also have to know your love language. Now, this is something that's been going around, and just to give individuals just a little glimpse of it, it talks about words of affirmation. Have you ever thought about an intimate night with, you know, when you're with someone and, you know, you want someone to pour into your spirit in kind words? I'm going to use it to say it that way. Another one is an act of service. Sometimes a person's love language is someone that basically do kind things for them. Another one is receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. Now, if none of your love languages, I mean, not one, you're not getting no words of affirmation, you're not getting an act of service, you're not receiving gifts, they're not spending quality time with you, or physical touch, you are in a situation you need to go back and you need to reevaluate. And a lot of times individuals are so afraid because they'd be like, well, you know, because of this or because of that, we find excuses. Don't make up excuses for your own happiness, because now you are doing that basically to yourself. Now, Amalia, I have a question for you. And one of the things is, and I know we only have 12 minutes left on the show, and I have some information. How do you tell the difference between settling and being comfortable? Because a lot of times individuals get that confused too.
Yeah. Well, let me go back to the love languages that I think is very powerful for those that don't know. That's from Gottman. And let me give it to you in languages that I also understand, which is tacos. So a word of affirmation, your tacos are delicious. An act of service, I made you some tacos. Receiving gifts, here's a taco. Quality time, let's go out for tacos together. And the physical touch, let me hold you like a taco, or maybe like a burrito. So I think that's very powerful, and it's not until you know what you like that you can also see that sometimes this person is actually loving me, it's just that they're showing it differently. Because maybe for me, I like to receive tacos. Here's some tacos for you, but that other person, the only way that they know of showing me love is by maybe holding you like a taco. And maybe I just don't like to be physical touch isn't how I show my love. So, I mean, we're joking with tacos, but I think there's a lot of power behind what Gottman did, the couple, and their book, The Five Love Languages. So settling and getting comfortable. I think getting comfortable is what we do just because it's kind of scary to be out there. You know, you have a new relationship and you've worked so hard to be in this relationship. How am I gonna let all these years go? And it's comforting. It's become your normal living in this in this relationship that you've been has become your normal. But if you're mm-hmm. stagnant and you kind of need a jump start, I think that's one of the first things is, you know, we grow in our 20s, our 30s. We're always growing. And if that person that was next to you is no longer someone that complements you at whatever current stage you are in your life, then it could be that you are just, you know, sometimes I say, like, maybe you are just in love with the memories mm-hmm. of how good it was or how good we used to be together, or, you know, and I think that's what a lot of times were, because of the good memories, it kind of clouds the current situation of how am I feeling right now. So right now, I'm a completely different person, and you're still that person you were 10, 15 years ago. Right now, this is what I know, and this is what has been going on. And so, but it used to be so good. So, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to be said about comfort and settling. But settling, I think, is more when you know that this is not meeting my needs, and this mm-hmm. is not, it's crystal clear. No language, no tacos, no physical touch is going to make you feel that you are having your needs met. So I think that's the difference between settling and just being comfortable with someone.
And you know what, too, Amalia? Settling gives you a partner because you believe you have a partner when you settle. Being comfortable gives you a friend, meaning you guys are really living like friends. You're just comfortable. And a lot of times we get the two mixed up, and, you know, and when individuals start talking about that, meaning, are you my partner, are you my friend, meaning just being comfortable. Settling involves ignoring your guts. Being comfortable involves questioning it, meaning as much as you may try to lie to yourself or talk yourself out of it, there is something deep down inside that you know that you have, that the person that you're with is not into you. And even though we know it's not easy to accept it, but sometimes individuals are so afraid to address it because sometimes people don't want to hear the truth, so they ignore it. Settling involves giving up on your dreams. Being comfortable gives you someone to chase your dreams with. Also, settling is overlooking your partner's imperfection. Being comfortable is accepting them. Okay, I heard some which I got to say about that. Okay, settling involves sacrificing part of yourself. Being comfortable lets you be yourself, your full self. Because, see, when you're comfortable, you don't care what you do. You're just comfortable. You're just like, okay, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You, I'm going to do me. You do you. And we just going to be in this relationship doing whatever we want to do. And that takes the relationship to a whole nother level. Because I want to say, you know, even though we're talking about are you in love or just settling, we know that there's different types of relationships out there. We know some people are into swinging. Some individuals are, they into a whole lot of stuff. My mother used to call it the freaky dicky funky monkey. You know, now that's taking relationships to a whole nother level. But by that same token, how did you even get to that spot when you say you love someone? You know, if you love me, why do you hurt me? If you love me, you know, and now I'm back to that, what was that song, Love Should Have Brought You Home Last Night. And that was a very powerful song back in the, 90s, early 2000s, because it was one of those things that let people know that if you love me, you wouldn't have been out all night. You know, I always talk about even with respect. One of the things is you have to respect yourself, respect the other person, and respect your relationship. Now, we have like 6 minutes left on the show, so now we're going to take this to a whole other therapeutic level. Now, if you are in those type of relationships and you want counseling, I want to say that there's a lot of resources available out there. Some individuals engage in couples counseling. Sometimes individuals have to attend individual counseling. And when they attend individual counseling, they have the ability to work on themselves, meaning they work on themselves first. Meaning, why have you allowed yourself to be involved in this type of relationship with this type of person? I always ask the individuals, who does this person remind you of? A lot of times it reminds them of their father, and they see themselves as being their mother. And sometimes they have to work on their inner person and work on their value and their self-worth. Now, when we talk about counseling, now we know that, you know, I'm a licensed marriage family therapist. Amy is working on her LCSW. Molly is also working to become licensed in LCSW also. And Teddy is also in the spiritual realm, and she should be coming here soon to help us with that. So there, and not just us, there's other individuals you can reach out to. I have Dr. Lisa Romaine. She is also a licensed marriage family therapist in the LPCC. She also do mediation with families, working with individuals that if you're on the edge of a divorce, it doesn't mean you have to automatically get a divorce. You may be able to go to counseling and work on some of those underlying issues to where you can bring love back into your relationship. You can light that fire again, but you're going to have to be able to address some of those things that you did not feel safe in talking about. Now, ladies, I'm going to let you guys speak on some of that. What do you have, want the listeners to know when you talk about therapy? Because a lot of individuals are afraid of the taboo and the stigma, and they feel like, well, why should we go to therapy? We know we're going to be together. What would you want to tell the listeners in regards to that? Amy?
Cool. I think that oftentimes therapy can help almost pull you out of the routine and the comfort zone, because if you're comfortable, you doesn't mean you don't love the person. You've just kind of forgot how to date or how to be a couple, and you're just in a routine of, you know, going to work and coming home, making dinner. So, like, rekindling why you guys fell in love helps, and also, like, understanding the other person's love language, not just understanding your own, because sometimes we do things that we want the other person to do for us, and we get frustrated because they're not doing it, but that's not how, they don't know that's what we need to feel loved.
Mm-hmm. All right, Amalia, what would you want the listeners to know when we talk about counseling?
Well, I think for counseling, it would be more for finding out what our beliefs are about ourselves, and if we believe that we do not have the worth or deserve something better, and that's why we're settling. So I think if you feel like you're settling, or if your marriage is at a stagnant standpoint, you know, therapy can help just maybe jumpstart your marriage. Or for someone who's really considering leaving, it's a good way for that person to talk through why their needs are not being met, and why they have this feeling of not deserving something better, or why they're not worthy of something that's better.
Okay. All right, Teddy, what would you want the listeners to know in regards to therapy or seeking some help? Okay, I guess Teddy got us mute. I know she's still on the line right now. But I want to let you guys know, like I said, help is available. Now, couples counseling normally is not covered through your insurance, but if you have EAP, which is Employee Network Services, or if you are basically connected with the military, they have what's called Military One Source. So, and there's also, I would say the internet is also very resourceful. There's a lot of information on the internet that's available. There are some things you can do to also learn your personality, your significant other's personality. You have to know who you're dating. I want to say that's one of the biggest issue that I find with a lot of individuals is, who are you and who are they? A lot of times. Excuse me?
Okay. Oh, I didn't know I was wrong.
Yeah, I wanted to add something to that. But, a lot of times we don't know who we are, we don't know who they are, but yet we want to live under the same roof. So we got to get to know ourselves, know the other person, and find out also, is your relationship even worth saving? You know, because you don't throw away something that's very valuable, but by that same token, sometimes you can polish it up, clean it up, and work on it. Now, Teddy, is there anything you want to tell the listeners before we end the show? Okay, I guess Teddy keeps putting us on. No, I didn't, but you can say something. I said Teddy, but somebody else said.
You're about to end now. I just, from the perspective of being a one who was counseled, being married 20 years and needed to get out of a marriage, I went to counseling that started as marriage counseling, but because my ex-husband would not attend, it became a counseling for myself. And that's mm-hmm. where I learned that I needed to focus on me and healing me. And the focus was, the key was I needed to love myself more and focus on me. And that's that was the problem throughout the entire marriage. I was settling for a relationship because I wasn't putting value on myself.
You know what? You've been on this show this whole time, and you just now saying something. You need your butt kicked. I thought that was enough. I wasn't sure because I'm like, okay. But next time, we're going to get you out here so you can speak, because we talk about love and suddenly we have to know the difference. And a lot of times, like I said, especially for you young individuals, you young ladies, you young men, learn what the word love means before you walk down that aisle, start getting pregnant, having children, because a lot of times we don't know. I always say when we know better, we do better. So I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And again, today's topic, are you in love or just settling? So let's work on that, get to know you, get to know the person that you are with, find out what your dreams and your purposes are in life, and that will make you a very healthy, successful person. Until next week, remember, you got this, and join me tomorrow with Pastor Dan Estelle as we will be talking from the pulpit to the altar. I look forward to listening or hearing your comments. Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.